We're going to continue now with a brand new broadcast partner coming alongside to give us insight to some of the activities unfolding not only in Israel but around the world. Late breaking news that the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to have been shown on Friday in a hotel room in Rome, Italy. The Ark of the Covenant to be taken from Ethiopia, according to the reports, into Rome. We're going to find out about that in just a moment. With Yoel Karen, he is a partner with a man that we've had on the broadcast before, Baruch Ben Joseph, a man who has been an activist in Jewish activities surrounding the temple, surrounding the possibility of a second Jewish state called Judah and Israel, etc. Yoel, thank you so very much for joining us. Appreciate your availability.
Thank you very much for having me, and I give you blessings from the Holy Land.
Thank you very much, and what a place to receive the blessings from. Before I talk to you about an interfaith group who has decided they believe that indeed they can put the next temple, the Jewish temple on the Temple Mount, alongside the Dome of the Rock, I think that's somewhat of an old idea. I did a documentary on the rebuilding of the Third Temple and talked to a professor about that many, many years ago. And we'll bring that to your thoughts and see what you have to say about it. But as I introduced our conversation, I talked about a WorldNet Daily report. The Ark of the Covenant has been taken out of Ethiopia, where the Ethiopians have said that it's been for many, many years, supposedly taken into Rome to be displayed to the world. I'm not sure what the latest is at this point in time, but have you heard this report, and what are your thoughts about it?
I heard the report just yesterday, and while it's very interesting, there's simply no indication that an ark, the ark, was ever taken to Ethiopia. There's no indication in the Bible, nowhere in Jewish sources where such an idea is ever even hinted at. And the Ethiopians have many duplicate arks that they bring out and they parade around, and none of them are even close to what we'd expect. They look like something, the artwork contained on them is something that looks much closer to Byzantine artwork, and it's not even anything that would seem to date from the period. My feelings are basically the feelings of the Bible itself. I don't like going beyond what the Bible tells us about the Ark. All of Jewish tradition indicates that the Ark was hidden somewhere beneath the Temple Mount itself, and the topography and the archaeology of the Temple Mount seem to indicate that there is a large vault that has never been explored underneath the Temple Mount. If you've, I'm sure you've been probably in the Western Wall tunnels. Mm-hmm. Down there, you will see the largest cut stone known to man, the largest cut stone ever cut in history. And if you could strip away all of the layers, destruction layers, around the entire Temple Mount complex and see the walls that Herod built as they were,
uh-huh,
you would see that this stone is extremely, to the umpteenth degree, out of place. It is so much larger width, breadth, and depth than any other stone. It's so out of place and serves no architectural purpose. The only purpose for such a stone is to keep someone from getting to what's on the other side of it. And I know the archaeologist, prominent senior archaeologist Dan Bahat, feels the same way, that he believes there is a vault on the other side of that stone.
And that the Ark of the Covenant would be in that area.
Probably everything is in that area. A stone that large, even the Romans weren't willing to put up the fight to get through it. And Jewish history also indicates to us that there were several menorot, the golden lampstands and things like that, duplicates. And we gave them the duplicates, and the real ones we kept hidden away. So there is no reason to think that the same wouldn't be done. If for the golden lampstand, that could be easily recreated, so much more so for the Ark of the Covenant.
Well, now, there has been conversation over the years, supposedly Jewish tradition, that King Solomon gave the Ark to the Queen of Sheba when she came to visit him, and she took it back into Ethiopia. Is that a complete fabrication?
This is more of an Ethiopian tradition than it is a Jewish one. I believe you're referring to the entire story with Menelik, who was supposed to be the son of of the Queen of Sheba, and there's really nothing historically to that. That we can't point to any solid factual evidence for that story. It seems to be Ethiopian popular myth.
Well, and of course, the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 3 said that King Josiah told the Levites to take the ark and put it in the house, indicating probably, most likely, a secret, secluded hiding place underneath the area of the Dome of the Rock today. And that's where you're saying it most likely is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Probably just west of the Dome of the Rock.
And what would you say most scholarship? You're involved with Baruch Ben Joseph. You have your own organization focusing on the temple and training people to realize what the Bible says about the temple and the need for it to be built on the area of the Mount Moriah of old, but the Temple Mount today. But all of the other scholarship that is studying and preparing for this next temple, would they agree most likely with what you suppose to be the truth?
Yes, yes. Most Jewish scholarship is going to agree with what I'm saying, by far. The academic community, the non-religious community, are going to simply tell you, we don't know. We know nothing about the Ark of the Covenant and its whereabouts.
Let's talk about the temple itself and the rebuilding of it. There is a new Jewish interfaith group that has been formed, and their whole focus is putting the temple on the Temple Mount without removing the Dome of the Rock, alongside of the Dome of the Rock. Asher Kaufman, a professor, retired, a physicist, did some study. He seemed to believe the tractates indicated that the Dome of the Spirits, which would be kind of northwest of where the Dome of the Rock is located, would be the actual location for the Holy of Holies. So he thus then took the specifications and said you could put the temple up there alongside the Dome of the Rock. What are your thoughts about this new interfaith group that is proposing, hey, this would now make it a worship center for the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians?
Right. Now, Asher Kaufman here, who I have great respect for as a scientist, the problem is here is that he's not an archaeologist. Uh-huh. He's neither a rabbi, nor is he an archaeologist. And Jewish law and tradition are 100% clear on this matter. Archaeology is 100% clear on this matter. We know where the Holy of Holies was located. All of these alternative theories as to the location of the temple that are being promoted by both well-meaning Jews and even evangelical eschatologists, they've got at least two things in common. Either they have a lack of a solid understanding of Jewish law regarding the temple and the altar and the required locations, or they have a lack of a background in archaeology and the topography of the Temple Mount itself. And both of these are crucial elements in making any assertions about a future temple and its location. So the idea with Asher Kaufman, it's easily refuted by the fact that what he's identifying as the foundation stone in the Holy of Holies is simply a Herodian paving stone. He's misidentified it. And this is the problem with not being an archaeologist. The ground level, the actual bedrock, and this is the problem with not knowing the topography, is 15 feet below that stone. You're not even at bedrock level. It's not a bedrock outcropping. It's a Herodian paving stone that was left in place.
If you mean the Dome of the Spirits you're talking about?
Yes. The stone that you see inside the Dome of the Spirits is most likely a Herodian paving stone, and the bedrock is 15 feet below it.
Okay. Now, what then does your scholarship, along with your organization, promote as the site?
Again, Jewish tradition and archaeology, secular archaeology, are 100% clear. The Dome of the Rock, the Golden Dome, underneath that dome, the stone that projects up in that area, is the Holy of Holies. It's the only way. That it's not only. It's number one. It's the highest point on the mountain. That's first and foremost.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's the only place where you can make all of the dimensions of the temple complex that we have, that were preserved for us by the rabbis in a tractate called Midot, meaning measurements of the temple and the entire temple complex. We're given everything down to the finest details. That spot, if you start with that spot and start measuring out, everything will fit. You move it to anywhere else on that mountain and nothing will fit because of the topography of the mountain. So it has to be there. And there is no way, this interfaith movement, there is no way, no matter how much they want to, they can undo that fact. Deuteronomy chapter 12, in no uncertain terms, tells us that when Israel reaches the place that God will choose as a dwelling for his name forever, that from that moment on, we're to bring our offerings to that spot and that spot only, and not just anywhere we please. This, I don't know if you're familiar with the gentleman involved in this interfaith movement. His name is Rabbi Yoav Frankel. I haven't met him. I know he's heavily involved with these interfaith programs. He's attempting to circumvent the Word of God by finding a loophole through which a prophet could suspend or change the law. Now, first, I'll tell you, this is a known concept in both the Bible and Jewish law. You see an example of it in 1 Kings chapter 18, when Elijah, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, suspends this commandment of Deuteronomy 12, and he builds an altar, and he sacrifices on Mount Carmel instead of the Temple Mount. But here's the big difference. Elijah did what he did in order to uproot idolatry from the land. Rabbi Frankel seems to want to use the same principle, not to uproot the houses of idolatry on the Temple Mount, but to lie in bed with them. And unfortunately, this desire to have a love-in with all other religions, it outstrips his knowledge of Jewish law. This authority is given to a prophet only in dire circumstances and only for a matter of hours and possibly up to one day. Building an entire temple complex in an alternate location would hardly fit the temporary nature of that law.
Now, if you indeed you could put the temple up there alongside the Dome of the Rock, would not the Dome of the Rock desecrate the whole Temple Mount area because of the religiosity it represents?
Absolutely. I'm going to say something right now. I want it to be absolutely clear to everyone listening right now. Make no mistake about it. My Hebrew name is Yoel David ben Avraham Avinu. I am telling you here today, in the name of the living God, the Almighty will not share his glory with another. There is no compromise with darkness, and there is no coexistence with profanity.
I can say amen to that. Wow, what a statement. Unbelievable. Well, that's the way I've always believed. It is good to hear it from someone who, from the Jewish perspective, is looking at this. You're involved now in training people to understand more of what we have been talking about in this conversation, are you not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The organization that I co-founded, which is called La Mikdash, which in Hebrew means to the temple. The idea is to reconnect the Jewish people, because of two millennia of dark exile, are just beginning to reawaken from their stupor. And they are totally, the Judaism that developed in the exile is a shabby replacement for the real thing. And we're trying to reconnect them with the idea of who they are and what the true Hebrew faith was meant to be. And at the center of it is that mountain where Hashem put his name, where God Almighty put his name forever. And this is the idea. By bringing people physically up to the mountain, having them reconnect with it, and we have an academy also called the Yeshivat Bnei HaNevi'im, which means the Academy of the Sons of the Prophets. Meaning we are reintroducing the idea of prophecy to the Jewish people, teaching them how essential it is, and preparing them for the time when God will restore it to us.
One of the indicators, seemingly to me, that we're getting close to the time when there will be another temple, a third temple, erected there on the Temple Mount, was with the reformation of the Sanhedrin several years ago. Is that a key factor in all of this that's coming together?
We have to have, again, the emergence of a prophet who's been tested according to the biblical standard. This would allow us to build the temple. This would allow us to put up an altar at the very least. Again, remember, to resume the sacrificial service, we do not necessarily have to have a temple. When the exiles from Babylon came back, they built the altar first, and only a generation later actually built the temple. We must have an altar, and a prophet can help us and can give us the authority to reestablish that right now. Barring us having a prophet, a Sanhedrin of 71 Jewish elders can also give us that authority to go ahead and build the altar. So yes, Sanhedrin is something that's essential. We don't necessarily have to have a prophet, but Sanhedrin we do have to have. The judges and priests we have to have to make those decisions.
And they seem to be in place. Let me ask one other question, just a bit off of topic, if you will, because in a previous conversation that I had with your partner, Baruch Ben Joseph, In that conversation, we talked about, and he had written up, and in fact, the Jerusalem Post covered this story, the possibility of a second Jewish state. He said the state of Israel itself, a secularistic, humanistic state-type government, is not going to allow what God wants the Jewish people to be able to do, to rebuild their temple, number one, to live in the land that God has given them, i.e. Judea and Samaria. Is that still a viable possibility, a second Jewish state, which is seen to be indicated in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 15 to 23?
Right. Ultimately, the ideal is that a godly state will simply supersede the state that we have in place now, the state that was established by... Because, again, for what would we build a house to God that it should be under the law of secular humanists? It doesn't really make sense.
Contradictory.
So the idea is that we need a state run on godly principles for the temple to work and for us to fulfill the role that God has assigned us.
Very interesting conversation you've allowed me to have with you, Yoel. I just appreciate it so very much. You've given insight to those who are eavesdropping on this conversation all across the United States as they've been listening to Prophecy Today. It kind of goes along with some of your thinking as well, the sons of prophets. I like that, and I'm wanting to encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing, and thank you for being available with us to give us the insight we needed to have about this particular subject.
Thank you so much for having me, and God bless.